You are
listening to
the
Andy
Zinka
Youth
News
Team.
I'm Mountain.
I'm Ephraim.
I'm Yovana.
And I'm Blake.
This month, we are talking about health. We each chose a different topic to explore.
For the first segment of our show, Mountain and I chose to talk about the rise of vaping in middle and high schools. We spoke to two people about their observations. Here's what they had to say.
Hello, my name is Mountain.
And I'm Ephraim.
And our show this month is about vaping.
To begin, we interviewed an anonymous staff member at a local middle school.
I have actually never seen it. I do know that it is an issue. I know that students at our school have been caught with devices. I don't know if they've actually been caught in the act. And I also know that kids at the high school have been caught in the act as well as with the devices.
And do you think this is a concern?
Definitely. Vaping is a nicotine-based activity, and nicotine is a drug. And I think that even though kids are like, oh, you know, it's not really affecting me, I'm not addicted, nicotine is an addictive drug, and I think it will eventually lead kids to either lung cancer or there's something called popcorn lung, which is, if you've ever seen the pictures, it's disgusting. And also, it with that nicotine addiction, I think that those companies that use them are trying to get kids to then take the next step to cigarettes.
What do you think is motivating children to vape?
Part of it is probably being cool or trying to seem like they are more adult than they are, like everyone else does do it. But it's also, you know, like I'm an adult-ish and I can make my own decisions. I think it's part of pushing against boundaries. And I also think that most young people under a certain, like, let's say, you know, under 20 or so, think that to some extent they are invincible. It won't happen to me. I'll be fine. It's not addictive. I'm not going to get hurt. And I think that's all rolled into any type of substance use.
And do you know of any strategies to combat this issue?
I do know that the health classes at the high school do address it. We also here at CMS have had different speakers come in and address those issues and really educate young people on how it is addictive and how it is not good for you, and it's also against the law. I commend actually Carbondale's government because they themselves have changed the laws for all nicotine use to the age of 21, whereas statewide it's actually only 18.
My name's Carrie Ewan, and I'm the prevention specialist at Carbondale Middle School.
Our first question today is, what is the percentage of middle school and high school students that vape?
That's actually a great question. Colorado has a survey that captures overall student health, and it's called Healthy Kids Colorado. What we do know is that in a lifetime use right now, we're seeing students in our high school in the state of Colorado average around 44% of students who reported using at least once. Now, that might sound alarming and high. I want people to recognize that the vast majority of kids have not used a vape product or electronic cigarette. When we look at more patterns of use in the past 30 days, these are individuals who might identify more typical or regular use. That number drops down to about 27% for the state of Colorado. Overall, because of the variety of devices and they're not being regulated right now, as far as what we call e-juice that contains the nicotine, there's a variety of health concerns. One comes from just the nicotine itself, the high level and potency of it. So addiction is a great concern. Individuals changing their overall mental and psychological and attitude towards substances. So kids' perception of this substance and other substances dropping or not really seeing any concern with it, which would then lead to increased levels of use. And the other concern is the overall health, which we know that these devices have been measured to be emitting not only trace metals into the lungs from the devices, and then also looking at overall respiratory illnesses. Because of the byproducts are immense right now based on the way that the liquids are being heated in the e-cigarettes, it's really hard to measure. We know that there's so many more concerns than have actually been tested in labs. There's a lot of misinformation on what these products are. They've been marketed heavily towards youth through social media, and a lot of that has shifted based on legislation and policies coming down and saying, like, this is, you know, inappropriate and really harmful to our communities. And so we're really glad to see that communities have stepped up and are addressing this issue. Ultimately, it can completely shift and shape someone's overall health and direction that they choose because of who they choose to hang out with, where they are choosing to be at times. I always look at kids who are using, integrity begins to fall to the wayside. When kids are using, they oftentimes are lying to the people who care about them the most. A lot of this is driven through, you know, again, misinformation, false ideas around what they assume these products are doing, what it is and what it is not. So we as adults can really help support students with just basic education and really, I think, understanding why are they using. Like oftentimes substance use is just a top surface level of something that, you know, there's something driving it from underneath.
Do you know of any strategies to help combat this issue?
Oh, that's a big question. Any strategies to combat this? You know, I think education, elementary and middle schoolers should all have a foundational understanding of the level of risk. We as adults in the community should be assessing student attitudes because we know that if a student thinks this is cool, there's a good chance they might actually use it. If they're saying, no, this is quite unhealthy and risky and they have accurate information, there's a good chance that they're probably going to stay away and abstain from the substance use. I think looking at our policies in our communities, we've done a great job with raising the age of nicotine products to 21. And so if we can see that kind of expand throughout our state, we can help protect our youth. And again, I think for parents, really just checking in with your child. I always say you may trust your child, but you may not always know everyone your child hangs out with, and do you trust all of them? These kids are accessing it. They have to have money. They have to be age 21. So part of it is where are they getting money, and how are they getting a hold of these products? And what's been surveyed is a lot of these kids are actually buying it on their own, either through online or through stores. And so as adults, we can come together. I truly think it takes a village. To work on this. So there's a lot of devices, and these are not necessarily new. They've been around for several decades now in some capacity or form. They have drastically have changed. So the electronics nicotine delivery systems, they originally were called ENDS, E-N-D-S. They have also developed into more of a streamlined kind of very low profile devices into certain names. The popular one that you might hear about that's because of news media is called the Juul. And it's kind of really redefined like what these devices, the capacity of which they can deliver nicotine is higher. They're very minimalistic. They are concealable. You also have larger devices which have different heating elements to it, which also changes the byproducts of the e-juice that's being delivered. Ultimately, the common piece is that they all are delivering nicotine and different toxic byproducts to the individual user. So what I always say is, you know, all use equals risk. It doesn't really matter what type of device somebody's using. I just want to thank you for actually addressing this topic because it's vital that it's driven by youth voices and that you guys are taking an interest into, like, what our community needs to hear more about. So I appreciate your time.
You are listening to the Andy Zanka Youth News Team on KDNK. We just spoke to two specialists about their views on vaping in schools.
So, news team, what is your opinion on vaping?
I think it's a big problem in the youth community these days, and I think that somebody, preferably the youth themselves, need to do something about it.
Agreed.
I especially think that the more older people are trying to get, like, the younger people on it, like high schoolers are sometimes just giving them to middle schoolers, making them think it's okay to do it when it's really not, and it's just affecting their lives. And apparently it's going to affect their parents' lives as well.
I think it's also a big issue, but I think a bigger issue is that no one's really seeing what's happening, especially in... I came from the city, and I've never seen it there, but that's probably not the good sign, considering the average in Colorado is usually above 40% or something, is what we said, right? So I think that no one's seeing it is really worrisome for parents, so that could be another huge issue about vaping.
Yeah, I agree with everyone. I believe it's a terrible thing to do, and no one should be being involved in it.
For the second segment of our show, I talked to a teacher about the Focus Kids program. Here's what she had to share. Today I'm here with Tina Spicioli, who is a third grade teacher at Crystal River Elementary School. She has participated in the Focus Kids program before. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, of course. So to start us off, how has the importance of being educated on mental health in kids changed throughout your career?
I think it's changed in the fact that it's much more on the forefront of education. I've been using the Mind Up curriculum at Crystal River Elementary for the past 5 years. And I really like the curriculum because it provides lessons on brain-focused strategies for learning and living. But this year, we're offered support from the Focus Kids program. It really helps to have that additional support to build time in throughout the year to check up on how we're doing. For example, are we using our sensory baskets appropriately, or are we taking our 3 daily brain breaks? So checking in on our mental health and being more mindful in general has really become something students are not only aware of, but they're beginning to understand and practice more independently. And in the past years, I've taught the curriculum, but I've never felt as if the students understood the why behind it as much as they do now.
Awesome. So what resources do you have to navigate mental health issues with your students, such as anxiety, trauma, or separation?
This year, the Roaring Fork School District, they've provided professional development around trauma-informed learning communities. So the hope is to educate teachers on how to be informed on students' backgrounds and then be responsive to their needs in an appropriate manner. We've also had a licensed clinical social worker named Janet Early come and provide teachers with strategies to assist kids that struggle with anxiety or social isolation. So Roaring Fork School District is providing opportunities for teachers to acquire the knowledge needed to address mental health issues. Also, having that Mind Up curriculum I mentioned before, along with the supplemental help from Focus Kids. So helps me feel much more confident in my ability to navigate these issues and be proactive.
And why do you think it's important to be educated on mental health in kids?
The age of technology, this generation's growing up in, kids are exposed to so much, and cyberbullying is constantly an issue, and there's unrealistic expectations around appearances, and it's all stressful. And I think, you know, sadly, the suicide rate in teens is soaring. So I think being educated in mental health, especially as an educator, can better prepare us to reach out to those developing minds and help them understand their feelings and work through them. If we could provide kids with strategies to use when they're experiencing difficulties in life, then, well, my hope is that students will use these strategies. And when those strategies aren't enough, then they could realize that there's a support system available and that it's okay to seek help out. And it's actually a sign of strength to acknowledge that you need help and not a weakness.
Yeah, of course. How has this program benefited your students in the classroom?
This program's helped my students realize mental health is just as important as physical health, and they realize that their brain is similar to a muscle and that you need to practice and set goals in order to see your results. So, for example, if you want to get better at soccer, you're going to have to practice, and if you want to improve your footwork, you practice your footwork, and if you want to get better at avoiding distractions, you also need to practice strategies to help you do that. So I think it's been beneficial in helping students be mindful of themselves and how their actions affect others. And I also think it's changed their perspectives on having a calm down basket and using it as a choice and not a punishment. So if they're more self-aware of themselves as learners, and if they're feeling overwhelmed or stressed, they can take charge of their feelings and have different strategies to use to do that.
And finally, what tools has the Focus Kids program given you and your students?
Oh, they've given us great tools. We have some puppets that are just great visuals to explain the different parts of the brain. It takes a word like amygdala and makes it much more accessible for a third grader to think of it as a little guard dog. And the prefrontal cortex is a wise owl, and the hippocampus is Mrs. Elefante. We've received a pinwheel to help us use when taking deep breaths, a glitter jar to help us, quote unquote, settle your glitter. So we've gotten a lot of tools, but mostly I appreciate the explanation on how to use these tools and the reasoning behind why and when we should use them.
All right. Well, do you have anything to add?
Just that I think, you know, it's important in general for kids and adults to take care of themselves mentally and not see doing self-care, whatever it is that, you know, makes you feel better, as a weakness. It's not selfish and it's not a weakness. It's just something that will make you a better person. And if you're a better person, the world's a better person. So,
well, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. You are listening to the Andy Zanka Youth News Team on KDNK. We just spoke to Tina Spicioli, a teacher in the Focus Kids program. What do you guys think about mindfulness in kids?
I think having a young mindset is important. Or teaching them how to control their young minds at a young age.
Yeah, definitely. And what do you guys do to, like, be mindful in your lives?
Oh, we actually did this in crew. To be mindful, sometimes if I need to calm down, I'll just, like, either sit on my bed or I'll just, like, talk to one of my pets or something, because it's like a really easy thing to do and they're always there.
They're very therapeutic to talk to your pets. They nice. Always listen.
I take a shower.
Of course you do.
Scrub-a-dub-dub.
Okay, well, we're going to move on here, and we are going to talk about the two new members to our news team here at KDNK, or in the Andy Zanka Youth News Team. So first, Blake joined us like how many weeks ago? Like three or four?
Yeah, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. Could you tell a little about yourself and why'd you choose to join this program?
So I got invited to join an invite from someone, and my parents told me, and at first I was like, I was a little iffy on it. I was like, I don't know how much I'll like this, and I came for the first time and absolutely loved it.
How have you been liking the class so far?
It's good. I've learned a lot of new things, from editing interviews to, you know, being on the air live. It's an amazing opportunity that we have.
And our second new member is Ephraim, and he goes to Crevno Middle School, and he's one of my friends. And tell a little about yourself, Ephraim.
I originally joined, I got an original invite from, I think, my mom, or I was on the air with Mountain, a year ago almost. And I really enjoyed it, so I did it again with him, and then I had my own show, and then I found out they had a news team. So, oof. And I decided if Mountain was in it, so that'd be a little bit easier on me to start off with. So I thought it might be a good idea to join the news team.
Well, this is kind of a late interjection, but welcome to the team.
thanks.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you guys would like to talk about before we sign off?
I think what we talked about today was a very important topic about, like, the health of students, because it's definitely a thing that should be somewhat looked into, especially how we talked about vaping and mental health with Blake, or not vaping, but...
One more thing about vaping. I think the kids are more likely to change and, you know, realize that vaping isn't good if it's coming from students and kids rather than teachers, because of... They, you know, you usually take things, students at least take things for a grain of salt coming from a teacher, but coming from a fellow student, it might mean more to them.
That's probably more or less true.
And as we're signing off, I would like to thank Tina Spicioli, Carrie Ewan, and an anonymous staff member from Carbondale Middle School for the interviews that we conducted. So, thank you very much.
And thank you so much to all the people we interviewed about these important topics.
And a huge thank you to all of our listeners.
For the Andy Zanka Youth News Team,
I'm Ephraim.
I'm Yovana.
I'm Mountain.
And I'm Blake.
Thanks for tuning in.
Have a great day.
Merry Christmas.